Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome back to our continued coverage of Co-op Solutions Think Conference here in beautiful Chicago, Illinois, where the sun is out. It's a completely different day than it was yesterday, I heard. So, But we'll leave that up to the Weather Channel because winter revisited yesterday.
It was rough.
And now summertime is back. All right. But we digress. We have Melina Palmer here from the Brainy Business in the studio lounge. Melina, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Thanks. Welcome. Great to be back.
Yeah, welcome to, what brings you to Think? I was very, I don't say surprised to see you, but I was like, hey, there's Melina, I know her.
I was so excited to see you. I saw the logo
here.
Wonder where Mike is. Gotta be go somewhere look around. For you. Yeah, so I was speaking here at the conference on really a talk that's centered around my first book, What Your Customer Wants and Can't Tell You, knowing, of course, in credit union world, it's members, but that is the title of the book.
Okay. Right? We're okay with that. Yes. We'll forgive you on that one.
Born out of the industry, I know.
You are. For those who don't know, Verity Credit Union, right?
Yes. So, yeah. 6 years at Verity.
That's right.
And really just being able to then, I went got my master's in behavioral economics and have been teaching and speaking and writing books. And
yeah, you launched Brainy Business right after that, and boom, here you are.
Yeah.
How many years has it been?
It's been four.
That's it? No.
Five. Five
it
years.
It seems like longer than that.
I think it's been 5 years since I left Verity.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, in such a short time, you have really got some serious momentum going.
Yeah.
With Brainy Business.
Yeah.
So tell, for those out there, we keep talking about Brainy Business, give us a quick little 30-second elevator speech on Brainy Business. What's it all about?
Sure, yeah. So my past life is marketing and brand strategy. I got my master's in behavioral economics, and it's the psychology of why people do the things they do, buy the things they buy. Mm-hmm. And when I was doing my research in school and realizing nobody was really talking about how you use what you do, just kind of saying the brain does this, isn't that cool, but no and then, right?
Yeah,
so
right.
The stuff that was so obvious to me about how it applies to brand strategy, communication, culture, change management, and everything for businesses just didn't exist anywhere. And so kind of had that why not us, why not me moment,
and
launch the podcast. That's what's almost 4 years. That's what I was thinking when we were saying. So the 4 year anniversary of the podcast is coming up.
And you have almost what, or maybe over 200 episodes?
Yeah, over 200.
Okay.
Yeah,
well done.
203 of this week in recording here. And so have been able to do lots of great solo episodes, interviewed amazing people from around the world doing really cool projects and using those insights for my own books, for my teaching, for consulting and helping people to really understand, you know, for credit unions, understanding your members better and what they'll do that they can't really tell you, right, as the book title of my book says. But it's good to still ask people, and if you know the way that the brain makes decisions, the way that it's going to more than likely go this way versus that way, it just makes everything more brain-friendly, as I like to say. And it can make it so your work is more efficient and effective, reduces on cost, and just helps all the things to be better, really.
Indeed. Now, we could go on a serious tangent here if we're not careful, but I bet you've had one whirl of an experience the last couple of years during the pandemic, watching and learning and gaining some experience from consumer behavior over the last couple of years. I bet it's just been nothing short of fascinating.
Yes. It's as a behavioral scientist being able
you
to watch and see things.
Yeah.
It is interesting. And, you know, really looking for, like I was talking with a lot of my clients and just on the podcast and things that, like, obviously we all wish that this isn't the world that we were in. And, you know, reframing and looking for what some of the opportunities are, right? So in a credit union space where people get in their status quo bias, where we like what we're familiar with, the way we've always done things, and then everything is upended and you can't go to the branch now, so what would you do instead? Or even if you look at grocery stores, right? And grocery stores could have made it easier to do online shopping and things like that before.
Yeah, you're right.
But they didn't have to, and they didn't. And now there are things that will never go back. You know, we've started using Instacart for everything, right? Three kids.
Yeah, five kids.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think five.
Well, two still at home. The other ones are out.
But still, right? Like, I don't want to deal with that, right? Like, and it's so much easier to have things delivered. Yeah. And so that all could have been done beforehand. And where people are now the people you're trying to communicate with at your credit union have had their habits upended, that's such an opportunity to try something new. It's not something where you want to sit back. Those who sit back in that sort of time and wait to get to the other side of things are going to be left behind. Yeah. And so it's an opportunity to look and say, how might we take this next step forward and not get into your, it's easy to get into your own kind of myopic problem of, oh, what do we do tomorrow? Where you should be looking out, you know, what's going to be the best thing 3 months from now, or six, or however.
Well, it's funny because, I mean, we're at Co-op Solutions Think Conference, and but I remember vividly at the very beginning, well, maybe it was kind of partially way through, but Samantha Paxson, obviously Co-op Solutions, I remember her seeing her on some webinar, or maybe it was the Think Virtual, but she said this is a prime time for any company out there to hit the refresh button.
Yeah.
And see what's working, what's not working.
Absolutely.
And just do a redo, you know, renovate your business and come out stronger on the other side. So I vividly remember her saying that.
Yeah.
So and I'm sure lots of other people have been saying that as well. So ever since then.
Yeah.
So I, man, spot on.
Yeah, all the things that people said, well, we can't do that. Our team won't do that. We would never go be all virtual.
Right? Yeah.
We can't accommodate that. That's not possible. Until it had to be, and then magically it was possible, right?
Yeah.
And really fast, you know, we're able to change and find things that are going to work for us when we're properly motivated and we, you know, can, again, navigate with that. And so I really love looking at change and how you can make it easier, because change doesn't have to be hard. It's really hard to try to get the brain to change its natural tendencies. Mm-hmm. That's almost impossible.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can work with the brain to help make change easier, it can actually, we change constantly. Mm-hmm. We just don't realize it because it was so easy for the right sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So understanding those habits, what's important to change and how you can help navigate that is a really... an area I love to be working in.
I can tell, you definitely have a passion for this. So, oh my goodness. So let's, okay, enough of the pandemic tangent. Let's come back to present. So you have a second book coming out.
Actually,
we're talking future. How about
that?
We went from the past to the future, bypass the present altogether. We're talking about your next book. It's What Your Employees Need But Can't Tell You.
Yes.
And that's coming out in October. But let's give us a little preview here.
Well, it's all about change management.
What?
I know. So what your customer wants and can't tell you is that, you know, communicating outwardly from an organization, what your employees need is about helping to be better at change and understanding what change really is like within the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we think about change, you think about we have a new CEO. You know, CEO
There's a
transition,
lot of that going on in this industry now. Yeah.
So we've got a CEO transition. We are doing a core conversion.
Yeah.
We're going to be rebranding. You know, you're changing from, you know, state to federal charter, whatever. Mm-hmm. The big stuff.
Yeah.
And that matters. However, the brain is built on habits, and even those small things can have an impact on the brain. So the average person makes 35,000 decisions every day.
Knows that all.
I know, right?
Goodness.
A lot.
Thanks for that, Melina. Now my mind's really on.
And the bulk of those have to be done by subconscious processing, right? And so we can't be logically thinking through all of that. And actually, just to take a step back into the pandemic stuff, I had someone who had said that it felt like, they called it the COVID blahs, right? Where you feel like I'm home, I'm doing less, but I'm so tired at the, you know, 2 o'clock and I just feel exhausted. And I used to go all day. But even those habits of where you set your coffee mug and the way you go to work and the thing that you do in your routine every day, those are all things that your subconscious was able to be doing. And even those little shifts can create such cognitive stress that it then makes it difficult to take on any sort of change. So people on your teams that would say something like, you know, I really am trying to use the new method. I know it, Matt. I know I want to. I just can't keep myself on track as much as I want to. And you think, be better, right? You have to, like, now's the time. You have to step up, just figure it out. Mm-hmm. But that cognitive stress is problematic. So knowing when you're going to be using the right changes. So when you are going through a big change, mm-hmm. don't also ask people to move their desks mm-hmm. or to do simple process changes or things that they have to, mm-hmm. That could be done at a different time.
Yeah, yeah.
And being really strategic and thoughtful about that, understanding that those micro moments really matter. And then, you know, a simple thing being time pressure from deadlines, from too many meetings, from too much, creates that cognitive mm-hmm, stress mm-hmm. that makes it so we're less creative, we are less likely to get things done, we're more likely to make mistakes, and a vast majority of what we're doing every day is stuff that's not really important and is actually clearing up past communications that we sent an email too fast
yeah.
and the people didn't get it, so we're having to clarify what we said. It's over half of emails are misunderstood. If you spend a little bit more time...
Oh, that's comforting to know.
I know. And so if you spent a little bit more time thinking, why am I sending this and what's it about?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you don't have the Slack pop-ups of like, oh, did you mean this extra thing? I just want to clarify. Oh, can I... 5 minutes, it's 5 minutes of your time that turns into 45 minutes of your time and mm-hmm. follow-ups and everything. Mm-hmm. If you are a little bit more thoughtful up front, and the book has lots of tips for that, of course, mm-hmm. then you're able to... reduce a lot of that mm-hmm. stuff down the mm-hmm. line, so you're working on the right stuff.
Yeah, I think the timing of this book is really, again, spot on. I keep using that term. Sorry, but it is. It's right on, because employees are going through so much right now with the Great Resignation, remote work. Are we going back to the office? Mm-hmm. You know, like you said, the CEO turnover, leadership turnover, all that type of stuff. So. Wow, this is going to be such a huge help for a lot of people, probably a lot of HR folks, I would imagine, right?
Yeah.
Who's this for? Who's the target? Anybody or?
It is written in a way that it can be valuable for anyone. But really looking at this area, if you are leading or managing teams, which can be people that report directly to you, or if you're having to influence people that aren't your direct reports, mm-hmm. that's actually a lot more difficult if you're trying to gain some influence there.
Yeah.
And so being able to be, it's really targeted to being a better manager of other people.
Mm-hmm.
When I was doing research for the book, Gallup had a study that they were saying, 1 in 10 people has natural talent to be a great manager. Just 1 in 10, which is not great.
Yeah.
And they said another 2 in 10 could be trained, has the potential to be trained to be a great manager, which means 7 out of 10 people
still aren't
should not be managers,
really,
is what it says based on their information. And they said over 80% of people who are currently managers are not in that.
Oh my gosh, Melina.
I know. And so their advice with the information they have is, you know, most people don't have more than 10 people on a team. And so good news, chances are someone on the team has the skills to be the manager. So find them.
Yeah.
Which is like, so I'm supposed to demote who the current manager is and say, sorry,
like
this
myself?
Person.
Yeah.
Right. You know, I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
Right,
it's not really functional within a group. And so with this knowledge of behavioral economics, what's really happening in the brain, unconscious bias, having the right tips at the right spot, I truly believe that this book can help anyone, mm-hmm. whether you have natural talent to be a manager or not, mm-hmm. according to Gallup, that you can learn some simple things that you can do to be better leading your teams through change and yourself and working within a company. I think there's just a lot of potential to help people have a better experience at work.
Mm-hmm.
I think everyone deserves to have a great manager
mm-hmm.
and to love their job. And I'm really hopeful that this book is going to help with
completely
that.
Completely agreed. And connecting this with credit unions, the timing is, again, really, you know, you're right on with it. So, because credit unions are looking for this right now, which is, well, part of the reason why you're here to help guide them in that area and introduce them to your book and stuff like that. So, oh my gosh.
Yes.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff. And this book is going to be out October, right?
Yes, but it is on pre-sale already on Amazon.
Okay.
It just popped up this week.
Yay.
It's very exciting. And like I was saying to you, it's already a number one new release in 5 categories on Amazon.
Well done.
So
oh my
exciting
goodness.
To have it out in the world. And I've been training and consulting and teaching on this topic for years.
Mm-hmm,
so it's something that'll be great to have that tangible book mm-hmm, with it, mm-hmm. and it's something that already exists in a lot mm-hmm. of ways. But I'm excited for it to be out in the world October 11th, all arriving right. in a mailbox near you.
Well, we'll put the link in the show notes so people can get right to it and click on it and buy a pre-copy.
Yeah, get it ready to show up.
All right, I need to summarize your life here real quick, Molina, because okay, you're a wife.
Yes.
You're a mom.
Yes.
You are running a business.
Yes.
The Brainy Business.
Yes.
You do a podcast.
Yes.
You're a teacher at Texas A&M.
Yes.
Go Aggies if you're an Aggie fan.
Yeah, gig'em.
Gig'em. You're an author two times over.
Yes.
You're a speaker.
Yes.
Consultant.
Columnist.
Need we go on? An astronaut or something? Is that next on the list?
Yeah, I think that should be the next task there. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, when do you have time to sleep? Or do you?
Oh, you know, that's why you have a baby at home, right?
To
be able to take care of him and everything. But, you know, I have a very supportive husband. When you have something that, like you said, I think my passion for the space really shows. I love researching what's there. I love being able to find new stuff mm-hmm. and look for opportunities to test and see how things work and talk to people about it. Mm-hmm. A lot of the work I do mm-hmm. doesn't feel like work. It's just an exciting thing to be able to do and share with the world.
Well, when you have a passion for something, it doesn't matter. The amount just doesn't matter.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. My big thing is I want to do all the things all the time
and that's
having
hard to do.
Myself, you know, take some of my own advice and say no to things that...
That's very important. You need to
but
have
it's good
that.
To have that balance.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yes. So, I mean, but the passion is just burning. I can see it.
Radiating.
No wonder you're a huge success already.
Oh, thank you.
I still can't believe just after 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
You're crushing it. So well done.
Thank you.
I'm very happy for you.
Thank you. It's been amazing to watch with, I know we were talking before where the podcast has downloads in 170 countries and well over 500,000 downloads. And you're like, how do you even find it?
I know.
The people reaching out from all around the world to say how much they love it. It makes it really easy.
That's the beauty. It's the beauty of today's technology. You have this global audience now.
Yeah.
Whereas before you didn't.
It's awesome.
That's good stuff. All right, last question for you. Brainy Business, where can we find you?
The Brainy Business? TheBrainyBusiness.com is a great way that has books, and if you're interested in taking classes at Texas A&M, we do a virtual program there, mm-hmm, or mm-hmm. finding the podcast, which is also called The Brainy Business. And you can also find me on all the socials pretty much as The Brainy Biz.
Oh, The Brainy Biz, B-I-Z.
Yeah, okay. Twitter, it was off by one character.
The nerve of those people.
To do The Brainy Business, so.
Well, Elon bought it. Maybe you can give him a call and say, hey, can we change this a little bit?
I know. I need to be able to have that, so. that's a good way to find me.
Though. Okay, good deal. All right, Molina, I'm going to let you get going. Every time I talk to you, I don't feel like I'm doing enough. So now I have to go do some more somewhere, somehow.
Sorry?
Not sorry.
The world is going to be appreciative of all the amazing things you'll do next.
Well, we'll try. We'll try. No, you're very inspiring. So thank you very much for that.
Thank you so much.
Again, the passion just shines right through. So thank you again for hanging out with us for a few minutes. And congrats on all the success.
Well deserved. Thank you. Until next time.